John. St. John chapter 11, beginning verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now watch this. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. How many have found out in your life that some things happen that you cannot make sense out of? That you just have to put your trust in God, and sometimes you have to just ride it out. I don't understand sometimes, even sometimes when I read things and I think I understand what I read and then I don't understand what I read. But then I live through it and all of a sudden I realize what he was talking about. He says right here, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but Lazarus died. So if it was not unto death, what does he mean? He said it was not unto death. What he was saying is the final product and end of this thing is not just about Lazarus dying. But God is going to be glorified through this, not by the sickness, but by his resurrection. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he, Lazarus, was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now that's another thing that I have problem with sometimes, because sometimes when I want Jesus, I want him yesterday. I mean, I don't want him putting any hold on it. You know, I need help and I needed it yesterday. And the Bible says Jesus heard that he was sick and he stayed 2 days in that place. Somebody said one time he loved me enough to be late. After that, he said to his disciples, after 2 days, he said to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and you want to go back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Let's go on. Jesus says to them, he says, Lazarus is asleep. And they say, well, if he's sleeping, he's going to get well. Jesus says, no, I mean, he's dead. He's dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Because if I was there, I would have raised him up and you would not have seen the glory of God in this dimension. I don't know about you, but I really feel like God is trying to get us ready for a greater glory. I feel like that was the word from the woman of God this morning, was go forward, that God is getting us ready for a greater glory. Jesus said to her, verse 23, talking to Martha, Mary, he said, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know, he's going to rise again, the resurrection, the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now let's come to verse 36. We're going through this pretty quick. Then said the Jews, behold, because we're in verse 35, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, verse 36, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind, now watch what they said, could not this man that opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Now really what they mean was, now it's beyond help. It's over. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, comes to the grave, and it was a cave, a stone lay on it. Verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, that's Lazarus, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, because he's been dead for 4 days. Now, I don't know about you, but I told you before, when I read, I try to put myself in the text. I can see that Martha is a little bit irritated at Jesus. And she says to Jesus, she said, he's been dead 4 days. 4 days now. We sent to you plenty of time, you know. But it's been 4 days, and I'm sure that by now he stinks. Jesus said unto her, did I not say unto you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Then took they away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you, you heard me, and I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, everybody say was dead.
Was dead.
He wasn't knocked out, he was dead, 4 days dead, came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for this service tonight, for what you've already done, Lord, for the lifting up of the spirit, the encouragement, Lord. But Lord, I thank you for this word. It's time for the word now, and ask you to open our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord, that we can become all that you would have us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the story of Lazarus. If there's any story in the Bible, I think there's one of my favorites, it would have to be Lazarus. I believe that Lazarus and his situation, his condition, and his resurrection is so powerful because it reminds us that it's not over till God says it's over. Oh, glory to God. That right there is enough to get you happy. It's not over till God says it's over. It reminds us that God can do anything. See, a lot of people believed that he could have kept Lazarus from dying, but they didn't believe he could raise Lazarus up. But God can do anything. Another thing it tells us and shows us that God works in the dark. God can do his best work in the dark. In other words, when it looks like nothing good is happening, God is at work. Look at your neighbor and tell him God's working. Say, you might not see it now, but God's working. See, it reminds us that man's impossibilities are God's opportunities. It teaches us that God is not glorified by our sin or sickness or disease, but he's glorified by our deliverance. He's glorified by our salvation and our healing. In the story that we've read to you tonight, Jesus, the word comes to Jesus, Lazarus is sick. But Jesus waits 2 days to respond. Let me just say this to you today. It could have just as easily been 12 years. 12 years like the woman with the issue of blood. Or 38 years like the man at the pool of Bethesda. Because the point I want to make to you tonight is this. It doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter how long you've been sick. It doesn't matter how long you've been bound. It doesn't matter how long you've been depressed or oppressed. Or how long you've been distressed. It doesn't matter how long or how strong. The answer is all the same. His name is Jesus. And he can turn it around in a moment's time. In one moment's time, he can reverse a lifetime of sorrow. The same power that heals a headache. It's the same power that drives cancer out of your body. It's the same power that heals a pulled muscle that drives demons out. After 2 days, Jesus says, now let's go wake Lazarus up. Jesus is even reluctant to speak of Lazarus as being dead. He simply says, he's asleep and I'm going to go wake him up. And I thought, Lord, why is that you spoke it that way? And I believe I understand. It's because as far as God is concerned and the power of God is concerned, it's no difference to say wake up to somebody that went to sleep or to raise the dead. No difference. Somebody here tonight needs to know your case is not too hard for Jesus. It may be too hard for doctors, but Dr. Jesus will take your case. Jesus is the healer. Somebody say he's the healer. Come on, lift your hands and thank God right now that the healer is in the house. The healer is in the house tonight. The healer is in the house. Another thing that this story shows us, and man, it's just so full of truth tonight, is it's never too late. It's never too late. Never give up. Never turn the switch of faith off. Never quit. Never quit praying. Never quit believing. Never quit confessing. Never quit. You're closer than you think. You're on the edge of a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. This story shows us that sometimes God delays in answering our prayers. Why does God do that? Why does God delay in answering our prayers? Sometimes I can tell you one of the reasons why is because He wants the glory. He wants you to come to an end of yourself. He wants you to recognize that you couldn't do it. He wants, when He comes through, for you to have to stand back and you to have to say that this is God. You know, 2 days ago it might have been me. 2 days ago it might have been the doctor. 2 days it might have been the lawyer. But today, oh, it's gone too far. It had to be God. Nobody could do this but God. Oh, hallelujah. God wants the glory. So many years the church has used this portion of Scripture to refer to what I call and what has been called the Lazarus generation. Because the Lazarus represents a hopeless cause. He represents an irreversible situation, a condition beyond repair, that which has gone beyond the hope of no return, and that which from all natural evidence is dead and buried. That's what it meant when they rolled the stone across Lazarus' door. It meant that it is over. It's past. It's decided. It is what it is. And it's never going to change. Oh, yeah. But I feel something pushing me here to tell you. You can't refer to the story of Lazarus and end at the tomb. Oh, you can't even talk about Lazarus and end at the tomb. Because the whole message of Lazarus is one of redemption, and it's one of resurrection, and it's one of healing and wholeness and deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, ba-la-la-ba-sa-ta-la-ba-sa. Everybody say, you've got to look past the tomb. When you talk about Lazarus, you can't stop at the tomb because it doesn't end there. The Bible says, at the voice of Jesus, Lazarus is raised from the dead, and the end becomes a new beginning, and where death had reigned, life begins. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's the message to what has been called the Lazarus generation. And I came tonight to speak and to prophesy a message to the Lazarus generation that God is not finished with you. You may be bound. You may be full of demons. You may look dead. You may act dead. You may look like you're beyond hope. But at the sound of His voice, the dead are raised. At the sound of His voice, the dead rise from the grave. This generation, friend, listen to me. I know it's evil. I know it's wicked. I know it's dark. I know it's perverse. But this generation is not unreachable. They are not beyond hope. But the answer is not in religion, it's not in traditions, it's not in philosophies, it's not in our ideas, and it's not in churchianity, and it's not in semi-religious songs today that make no difference between your boyfriend, girlfriend, or Jesus. It's got to be the voice of the Master. They have got to hear Jesus. That's what Sister Paulette was saying this morning. You've got to be able to hear God in the man. You've got to be able to hear God in the woman. It's got to be the voice of God that you hear. Not just the voice of a man or a woman, but it's the voice of God. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. They must hear the voice of Jesus. John 5:25 said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The sad thing is that today, everybody say today. The sad thing is that today there's not that many places where Jesus' voice is being heard. We're hearing a lot of goofy doctrines today. A lot of self-help gurus. And I don't mean to be rude about it, but I say a lot of gracism teachers and life coaches. And I'm not upset at any of them, but I'm going to tell you, if it's false doctrine, I'm upset at the devil and anyone that would propagate false doctrine. But we don't hear very many pure, simple, undiluted, unadulterated preachers of the gospel anymore. When Lazarus hears the voice of Jesus, he's resurrected. When the Lazarus generation hears the voice of Jesus, I don't care if they're homosexual, I don't care if they're lesbian, I don't care if they're transgender, I don't care if they're adulterers or fornicators, I don't care if they're liars, cheaters, thieves, murderers, it doesn't matter. When they hear the voice of Jesus, oh, they'll be resurrected. They'll hear his voice and they'll come to life. They'll be resurrected. Now, friend, listen, they might rise from the dead with green hair and with tattoos all over them, with piercings all over their bodies. They might even rise from the dead, not sure of whether they're male or female, but the church has to be ready to loose them. That's what Jesus said when Lazarus came up from the grave. He was still bound hand and foot with a napkin over his face. And Jesus said to his disciples, loose him and let him go. The church has to be ready to loose them. We have to have enough of the love of God, enough of the compassion of Christ to look past their past and equip them for their destiny. Oh, hallelujah. If the church is not able to do this, as far as making a difference in the world is concerned, the church becomes irrelevant. I'm not talking about endorsing all this weird stuff, but I'm talking about loving the person enough to deal with weird stuff in order to loose them into their destiny. It's interesting to me tonight that Jesus called Lazarus out, but he instructed those near him to loose him. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Jesus didn't go over there and start untying him and taking the bandages off and loosening him from all of the bondages. But he called him out. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, he that was dead came forth out of the tomb, bound hand and foot in grave's clothes. And then Jesus instructed his disciples to loose him and let him go. We understand tonight that nothing less than the power of God can raise the dead. Nothing less than the power of God can deliver the oppressed or the depressed or the possessed. Nothing less than the power of God can heal cancer or diabetes or heart trouble or kidney or liver disease. Nothing less than the power of God can open the eyes of the blind and unstop deaf ears. That's the power of God. But Jesus said to those around him, to his disciples, loose him and let him go. That's the ministry of the church. Somebody say, that's the church. Say, that's the church in action. Say, that's our ministry. To loose them and let them go. That's the ministry of the church. Our ministry is not just to come to church and sing songs and sail away when Jesus comes. No, the ministry of the church is the ministry of Jesus. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, Lazarus couldn't loose himself. Lazarus couldn't raise himself up from the dead. Lazarus couldn't heal himself. Lazarus couldn't deliver himself. Lazarus couldn't set himself free. That's the ministry of the church. Jesus looked at those around him, at his disciples, and he said, loose him and let him go. That's our job. That's our ministry. That's our calling. That's why we're anointed. We're not anointed just to feel goosebumps. We're not anointed just so we can feel something run up and down our spine. We're anointed so we can lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. We're anointed so we can cast out the devil. We're anointed so we can set the captive free. This anointing is for a purpose. It's for a reason. He said, you break every yoke and you destroy every bondage and you let the oppressed go free. That's the ministry of the church. Now we, as a body of Christ, have to be prepared to minister to the Lazarus generation. The Lazarus generation is the generation that people are writing off and saying they're just too far gone. Can't do anything for them. Let me just ask you something. What would happen if Jesus came to that place where that man was, the demoniac? 2,000 demons in that man. Can you imagine? At least 2,000 demons. We are legion, they said, for we are many.
At least 2,000 demons in him, running up and down his house of one body. 2,000 demons. Can you imagine that? And could you imagine Jesus coming to him and saying, "Oh, you're out of my reach. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, the devil's got you, and you're just too far gone." But you know, Jesus didn't do that. You know, the Bible says Jesus said, "Come out of him." And the Bible says that the devil is tormented. Do you understand this? The devil is tormented when he hears a believer with authority and power say, "Come out." The devil doesn't want to come out. And it torments him when he is being told to come out, because he doesn't want to come out. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, "Come out of him." But really, what it says, if you really look into it and really search into it, it says Jesus was saying, "Come out." So Jesus was walking toward him saying, "Come out of him. Come 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 out of him." Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the demons were tormented and they cried out. They said, "If we got to go, let us go into the pig." Jesus said, "Go!" And so the Bible says they went into the pigs, and 2,000 pigs ran down into the sea, choked themselves, killed themselves in that sea. But just suppose Jesus would have walked by him, and Jesus said, "I'm sorry, you're out of reach. Lazarus, I can't help you. You stink." Well, somebody says, you know, here's the thing about serving God. He's so good that nobody's going to stink when they come to him. Oh, wake up. Smell the coffee. When the prodigal son left the pig pen to come home, he looked like where he'd been. He smelled like where he'd been. He smelled like being with the pigs. He looked like he'd been with the pigs. But the father was looking for him, the Bible says. And he saw him afar off. Why did he see him afar off? Because he'd been looking for him. He'd been expecting him. But the father didn't just see him afar off and said, "Well, if he really wants to be here, he'll come." No, the Bible says he ran to him. He ran to him. Glory to God. And that son is trying to tell the father, I'm so bad. I'm so bad. I've done so many bad things. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against heaven." And he's got all of this long thing that he's wanting to tell his dad, because he said it earlier in the chapter. He said, "When I see him," he said, "I'm going to tell him this. I'm going to say, 'Dad, I've sinned against you. I sinned against God. I'm not worthy.'" But the dad didn't even let him say that. We only know that he thought that because he said that before he got to his dad. When he got to his dad come running to him, and the Bible said he fell on his neck and he kissed him. "Oh, Dad, don't you know that he stinks? He smells like the pig pen. He's got pig slop all over him. What are you doing?" He said, "I'm loving him to life. I'm loving him to life." Hallelujah. You've got to understand that when people come up out of the grave, they're going to come up bound. When they come up out of the grave, they're going to come up with some of the smell of where they came from. They're going to come up with some of the stink on them. But you've got to love them enough, man, to love them in spite of the smell, and work through the mess and touch their lives and move them and shift them into their destiny and equip them for their destiny. You know who's going to reach those people? The greatest people, the greatest evangelists to reach those people, to reach transgenders, to reach the homosexual, to reach somebody that's been delivered. Woo! Hallelujah! When Caitlin becomes Bruce again. Hallelujah. And gets full of the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if we're not careful, Brother Grady, if we're not careful, the church, we can take Martha's stance and we can say, "Oh Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. By now he stinks. Oh Lord, do you know what kind of sexual activities and immoralities and perversities they've been involved in? Oh, the Lord, it stinks." If that would have been Jesus' attitude, Lazarus would have never raised. Jesus knew there would be smell. Jesus knew there'd be stink. He loved you enough to get in your stink. Some of us forgot it. We think because we smell good now, we always smell good. Some of us didn't always smell that good. You know what I'm saying? And if Jesus was looking at us and he's judging us by smell, he's like, "Ooh, get away from me, you stink." But that father ran to that prodigal, fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And you know what's amazing to me that he didn't say, "Go get the soap, go get the scrub brush, and go get the pan ready. We got to scrub this boy up." That's not what he said, is it? He said, "Bring the robe, and bring my ring, and bring my shoes. Hallelujah. And go kill that fatted calf that I've had on store. I've had it in holding. I've been fattening up for this day when my son would come home." Hallelujah. Because he was dead, but he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and love on Jesus. Lift your hands and thank him tonight for the fact that God loved us enough to get involved with our mess. He loved us enough. He didn't care that there was stink. He didn't care that there was mess. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Sha-la-la-la-la. Come on, just worship him for just a moment. Hallelujah. Well, you know, God will just take the stink away. No, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes that's the price of ministry. That's the price of ministry. You just have to take a deep breath and go in. I don't know if any of you heard of Jim Cimbala. Jim Cimbala pastors a church in Brooklyn. And he has a big ministry, and he has a big choir that travels the world a lot of times, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And Jim Cimbala is a very powerful man of God. He's done a great work in that church. But there was a man that used to hang out in the back of the church. He told this story. This man was a drunkard. He went out in the back of the church. He said he was filthy, filthy, filthy. Hair hadn't been washed. He had maggots and vomit in his hair and everything. He used to hang out in the back of the church. And then he'd been ministering about loving people and being able to look past the mess and everything. He said one night that guy came into the church and walked right down because he heard him preaching. He said, "Do you believe that? What you've been saying?" And he said, "I'm going to tell you the truth." He said, "I went down to that man and he said he stunk so bad it almost made me sick." And he said he had maggots and vomit in his hair and urine all over his body. And he said, "And I just went to him, and I put my arms around him, and he said, 'I do believe it.' And he just loved him, and Jesus poured his life into him and made him a minister of the gospel. He totally transformed his life, put him to work in that church, become one of the greatest faithful ministries." We're going to have to be able to deal with the stink. To get to the jewels, because there are hidden treasures in the darkness. There are hidden treasures in the darkness. And we can't expect everything to come into the church all cleaned up, fixed up, ready to go up. We got to be able to love them in their mess, love them in their stink. I'm afraid today that many Lazarus people didn't get delivered and didn't get raised because too much of the church was like Martha. She had her hand on her nose. Gotta love them. Jesus loved us. God loved us. It's the ministry of the church. Loosen and let them go. Loosen and let them go. That's our responsibility. Notice Jesus calls him out. Lazarus, come forth. But then Jesus turns to those with me and says, loosen. Let him go. That's our responsibility. Are we going to be ready? We're going to be ready to loosen. Ready to set them free. Ready to love them in their mess. Well, it's easy to love somebody when they're all cleaned up, you know, with a drink. Hallelujah. It's easy to love somebody when we got it all together, you know. You got your cologne, you smell good. Hallelujah. That's my favorite, too. Huh? Praise God. Now we get them on. That's easy. That's easy. It's easy when we look alike, we dress alike, we walk alike, we talk alike. That's easy. But what about when they come in and their ears are way down here and they got a big hole in their ear and they got a big thing in their nose and they got tattoos all up and down their necks and, you know, what about that? What about that? How does God feel about it? He loves them. How much does he love them? Look at Calvary. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm saying this tonight because I believe that in this season of time, for the church to be relevant, we're going to have to be able to deal with stink. For the church to be relevant, we're going to have to be able to look at people beyond their mess and love them beyond their mess and see their potential and see the destiny that God has for them. If it wasn't for God, and if it wasn't for somebody named David Wilkerson that looked past the stink and the mess in Nikki Cruz's life, Nikki Cruz would have died a gang member. But because there was a man, Nikki Cruz looked at David Wilkerson, and David Wilkerson had witnessed to him, the founder of Teen Challenge, one of the greatest ministries and prophets that our world has ever had, and God has taken him to glory now, but he witnessed to him and witnessed to him. And one day Nikki told him, he said, I said, I've had enough. Shut up. And he told him, he said, if you say one more word about Jesus, he said, I'm going to pull out my switchblade and I'm going to cut you into 1,000 pieces. And he looked at him. He said, Nikki, he said, you could do that. He said, but every one of those pieces will be crying out, Jesus loves you. And Nikki fell down on his knees and gave his heart to Jesus and became one of the greatest evangelists in the world. Still doing the work of the ministry today. Because somebody loved him. And somebody could look past that gang violence. And somebody could look past that murderous spirit and that hatred and that anger. And saw the creation of God there. Who did God send Jesus for? The world. Not for the church. Remember Jesus said the church doesn't need a physician. The well doesn't need a physician. Said it's the sick that need a physician. How many know tonight that Jesus loves everybody?
Amen.
He loves everybody. And how many knows if we're going to really love and reflect the love of Jesus, we have to love everybody. Love everybody. Would you lift your hands with me tonight? Just lift your hands tonight and let's ask him tonight to let us be his hands extended. Come on, ask him tonight to let him be, let us be his hands extended. That's the song we used to sing all the time. Oh, to be his hands extended. Reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed. Hallelujah. God, I love. I say, it might be your daughter. It might be your son. It might be your nephew. It might be your cousin. It might be... I've got loved ones right now tonight. I have to say this, and it's breaking my heart, but I've got loved ones that are being tormented by the devil. I've got loved ones that the devil is trying to destroy their souls, and we're going to have to war for them. We're going to have to fight for them, and we're going to have to love them in the middle of their mess. We can't turn the compassion off because they're in a mess. We can't turn the compassion off because they stink. We got to love them. We got to love them with the love of Jesus, just like he loved us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand all over this house tonight? We're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray together because I'm going to be a little bit selfish in this. I want you to pray for some of my loved ones. I want you to pray. And I'm going to ask you tonight to pray for some of my loved ones, and I'm going to pray for some of yours. And I'm going to be just a little bit selfish about that because I've been praying for them, but I don't want to be the only one praying for them. I want you to pray for them. And I'm going to pray with you for yours. But I'm going to tell you something. I felt something in the Spirit tonight. I felt it this afternoon. I felt God saying to us, as to America, I'm going to give you one more chance. I felt in my spirit, up until this time in history, I felt like it was going this way and there was no way that it was going to turn. I felt that. But in this afternoon, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. I felt something in my heart saying, I'm going to give you one more chance, America. I'm going to give you one more chance to make the right choice and to make the right decision. I'm going to give you one more chance. I pray tonight that America makes the right choice. Yes. I want everyone to come around the front of this building tonight. And I want us to find a place to pray. And I want you to begin to pray for your loved ones. And begin to pray for my loved ones. And I'm going to pray for your loved ones. I'm going to pray for your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your uncles, your aunts. And hallelujah, your moms, your dads. I want you to pray for them tonight. And pray for our country. Pray for our country. God, help us in America to make the right choice. You've given us another chance, Lord. You've given us one more opportunity, God. You've given us another opportunity to make the right choice, to make the right decision, Lord. To stand for righteousness in this country, Lord. God, we pray for the grandchildren today. I pray for the grandchildren, Lord. Every grandchild that's represented tonight, Lord. I pray for them. Every son, every daughter, God, that's represented here, that's on the heart of your people tonight. I pray for them, God, that they'll be saved, that they'll be delivered, Lord. God, that they'll be set free by the power of Jesus Christ, Lord. That they'll come out of their graves. Come out of the graves of sickness, come out of the graves of disease, and come out of the graves, Lord, of perversion, come out of the graves of lust, come out of the graves, Lord, of this perversity, Lord, that's come upon our country, God, that they'll come up out of the graves in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for our nieces and nephews, I pray for our uncles and aunts, Lord, God, that you will deliver them, Lord, Lord, that you'll save them. It's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over them tonight, Lord. God, that every chain be broken, that every yoke be destroyed, that every bondage be broken, that every shackle be broken, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we loose them. We loose them in Jesus' name. We loose them from the perversity. We loose them from deception. We loose them from that confusion and from that darkness, Lord. We command that that spirit be broken out of their lives through the power of the name of Jesus, through the power of the blood. The blood. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Lord, we claim our Lazaruses. Lord, we're not going to ignore them and push them off to the side and say, let them go to hell. Lord, we claim our Lazaruses, Lord. God, they belong to our generation. Lord, they're here for us to minister to them. Lord, reach out through us and touch them, Lord, and heal them and deliver them, Lord, and set them free, Lord, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, Lord God. Make them new creations, Lord, like you say. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, God, turn this country around. God, I felt in my spirit that you're giving us one more chance, one more opportunity, God, to see a revival in this country. One more opportunity, Lord, to turn this thing around, to take it out of the hands of the wicked one, to take it out of the hands of the enemy, God. Lord, Allah, Sada, Dada, 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 God, I pray for strength, Lord. Strength, Lord, to those who turn the battle to the gate. Strength, Lord, for those who stand for righteousness. Strength, Lord, and integrity, God. God, empower them, I pray. One more chance, God. One more chance, Lord. One more opportunity to say yes to your will. One more opportunity, God, to turn back the works of the devil in Jesus' name. Oh, God, have mercy on us, Lord, in America. God, our loved ones tonight, Lord. I have family members, Lord, who need you. I have family members, Lord, who are out of the ark of safety, Lord. I have family members tonight, God, who need a resurrection. They need a resurrection, Jesus. And your voice can bring them out. You can call them out of that darkness. You can call them out of those tombs. You can call them out of that cave, Lord. You can call them into your marvelous light. Lord, we love you. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord. Jesus is so good to us, Lord. Let me tell you something. While you're praying, I want to say something to you. One of the most wonderful things that can happen in the kingdom. Let me tell you something. This is what it works both ways. God will reach into the darkness and he will snatch someone out of that darkness. And he will clean them up, put his spirit inside of them, put a fire in them, and make them a trophy for the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, the devil wants to do the same thing. The devil wants to reach into the church, and he's done it for years. He reaches into the choir and he gets some young man, some young woman in the choir, pulls them out into perversion, gets their life all messed up, gets them all tied up and tangled up in the world and the perversity, and he says, "Now look what I did," and he makes them a trophy for his kingdom. The church, it's time that we quit letting the devil snatch out of our midst. And it's time that we quit being the passive ones. And it's time we started invading the darkness. We started rescuing the souls. Hallelujah. But Jesus came to give us life. And he didn't come for everyone that was already perfect. Came for the ones that were all messed up and they needed a Savior. This is the Lazarus generation. Years ago, I heard this phrase and I thought, oh Lord, it certainly is a Lazarus generation. When young people are being caught up in drugs and alcohol and young people are being lured into that lifestyle, I thought, Lord, this is certainly the Lazarus generation. And then I look today and I see children and young people who don't even know whether they're a male or a female. And it's not a joke. It's real. It's serious. They don't know. And some of them have this decision that I might be anatomically this, but I've decided I'm going to be that. My body might say I'm this, but I've decided I'm going to be that. And then I realize we're in the Lazarus generation. But God's power has never changed. And if he could raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, he can still raise him from the dead of sin. Doesn't matter how far they've gone. Somebody said to me one day,
There's a pastor had somebody in his church that was a man, become a woman, become a man, back and forth, you know, 3 or 4 times. But he got saved. Now he's a man in the woman's body. But he wants to serve God. But the doctor said, we can't do anything for you. We can't undo what we did. It's too far gone. So the pastor says, what do you do? You can't look at him and say that you can't be saved because you're not God. You can't look at him and say, well, you've got the wrong body now, so you're going to hell. You can't do that. You don't have a right to do that. I don't have a right to do that. Because he's dealing with their soul. He's dealing with their inner man. The only thing I could think of is one thing. I said, God deals with the heart, not the parts. We got to remember that. God deals with the hearts. When a person has gone so far, I saw somebody not too long ago on Facebook, they had been through that process so many, many times, but they've given their heart to Jesus. And now they're a testimony to others, you know. Don't go that route. Don't go that route. But if you have gone that route, I know a man called Jesus. He can still call Lazarus from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands one more time and let's just tell Jesus how much we love him. I love our son. I want Brother Greg, Sister Stephanie to come, if you would please, and just stand here for just a moment. And I want everyone to stand as well. They're going to come and we're going to pray for them tonight. God's doing something supernatural in their lives. And you know, one of the greatest ministries of the church is to identify where God is working and agree with God and put our faith together with that and release the anointing that's in your life. Come on, everyone, come on up here. Come on, everyone that can, get as close as you can. We're just gonna pray for them. We're going to release what we have inside of us tonight. There's an anointing inside of you tonight. There's a healing anointing inside of us tonight. God wants to heal us in every area. Every area. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray tonight. Brother Gray, Sister Stephanie, Lord. Lord, you brought them a long ways. Long ways. And Lord, the enemy would have liked to have taken him out. But you have stayed the hand of the enemy. Because your will and your plan, God, has not been fulfilled. And it's not been finished, God. Lord, we agree tonight, God, that your will be done in their lives, Lord. God, that you will perfect that which concerns Greg and Stephanie, Lord. That you know the way they take, and when they're tried, Lord, as we are, we shall come forth like gold. Like gold. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, that they're not alone, God, but you're with them. Jesus, you walk with them every step of the way. And Lord, I pray that as a body, Lord, that they'll feel the strength of this body right now, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. That you walk with them, that you talk with them, Lord. God, that you lead them, Lord, even through this valley that they walk through right now, Lord. That you are faithful to them. And you're faithful, Lord, in the midst of it all, Lord. And they shall see the salvation of the Lord. They shall see the salvation of the Lord. And Lord, I just thank you. That you work a miracle. Lord, a miracle in this body in the name of Jesus. That every plan, scheme, plot, and assignment of hell is canceled in Jesus' name. Lord, we decree and declare a new assignment, Lord. He will fulfill your purpose for his life. He will fulfill the destiny, God, that you have for him, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you tonight. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Detached retina, but it's being healed. But we're believing right now that God is going to complete that. Lord, we speak and decree and declare that healing flows into that eye in Jesus' name. Lord, that retina reattached completely, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Accelerate that healing, Lord. Completely restored in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! By your stripes, Jesus, we're healed and made whole. You took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. We thank you that you do it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God! Praise God! Amen. Reach over and take somebody by the hand, if you will. I'm going to pray a dismissal prayer. Lord, thank you for the service tonight. Thank you for everyone, Lord, that came to the house of God. Thank you for what you have done in this service tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the operation and ministration of the Holy Spirit tonight, God. Lord, go with your people as they leave this place. I plead the blood of Jesus over every vehicle, every person, every body physically. Lord, watch over them. Angels assist them. Angels, Lord, on assignment tonight, Lord, as they go to this place, Lord. Be with them, Lord God. Watch over them. In their homes, Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Now give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise, and you're dismissed. God bless you. Hallelujah.